this morning? Are you blessed this morning?
Yes, I am.
Are you excited this morning? Do you have the joy of Jesus all the way down the inside of your soul? Are you ready to praise him, rejoice in the fact that as the song said, how great is our God? He didn't say how great was their God, but how great is what? If we want to personalize it, how great is what? My God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. It's in respect to your pastor who allowed me to stand here this morning to the offices of this great and marvelous church. We're just so pleased. My wife and I are just so pleased to be able to be here. And I just thank you for your outpouring of hugs and outpouring of love that you expressed to me and to us. We're just so grateful to be a part of you. I consider myself as such, as I would say, a part of you, okay, because I think that I started out here with Ralph when he was sick, and we have not parted friendships, okay?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. But we are here this morning to be able to just share a few words with you from the scripture, from the book of Psalms that's already been read. But let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day and for this time. We thank you so much for gathering here this morning. And ask for your blessings upon to guide our thoughts and guide our thinking, Almighty God, as we go into your word. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. And thank you, Jesus. Focusing on Jesus, on Christ, on the positive. This is what I put it. Focusing on the positive. On the positive. And so we just want to look at that in a few minutes here that God would, because sometime in our lives that we, face so many different kind of things in this old world that we are becoming kind of burdened down with those kinds of things. And so sometimes we just need to refocus ourselves, you know. So, and sometimes I often just say sometimes we just need to kind of encourage ourselves. Get ourselves a good pat on your back. And if I won't pat you on the back, just kind of pat yourself on the back. Say, I'm done a marvelous job, okay? Amen. Just do that for yourself. When you think about it, you're kind of getting kind of down. You don't feel like everything going the way you want to do. If you can raise your arm, let's everybody do that, okay? Just as far as you can raise your back. Just give yourself a pat on the back, okay? Now you know that. He went to his favor. Mike went to his favor. That's what it's all about. Amen. We thank God for this time. The Psalms already been read. As we think about this particular passage of scripture today, focusing on the positive. Those are good words, and they are good for our ears, but many times does little for our circumstances. We see that in, looking at our world condition, the positive seem to be overshadowed by the negative. As Christians, we have to have little or nothing in this world realm that are favorable for us and for us. The question that is tugging at our mind and heart, where is there a sense of justice? Sense of justice. Many times we look for answers in all the wrong places. Paul, in his writing to the Colossian church, pointed to this point. Then he said, it was point heavenward. He said, if you will then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and not on the things that are on this earth. And you find that in Colossians 3:1-2. Paul is saying, don't stick your head in the cloud, but above the cloud and not on that, but on this earth. Don't get trapped in this earth environment that we're in. Don't get trapped in those kind of things. Be able to look beyond those things and find something positive to focus on, okay? Because there's enough negative stuff going on all around us. When you read the newspaper, you hear the radio, you see the TV, all the negative stuff all around us. You wake up in the morning, you turn the TV on, you talk about, you always hear about somebody that was just shot or killed. Those are negative things, and we focus upon those things, they can kind of get us down. But I always look up. Look unto the hill. David said, look unto the hill from where our help comes. Our help comes from the Lord, which made what? If he made heaven and earth, what you thinking? You think that we have some little minute problems down here that God cannot handle? He's greater than our problems, right? But we just gotta change our focus. As Christians, sometimes we get trapped in this situation, but we need to be able to change our focus, change our way we're looking at things. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand here. But sometimes if we do this, then the world we live in won't seem so imposing, okay? In the midst of this dismal world, Jesus gives us a positive outlook. He said, be of good cheer. Listen, he said, be of good cheer. I have already what? Overcome what? The world, right? Let me encourage our hearts. The only place the children of God can find solace in Christ is no other. I don't mean in a harm, but we cannot find peace even in many of our churches. Okay? We cannot find peace. I mean, this is not a place where we're gonna always have peace, okay? We would like to have this place where we can say this is a place where we come and have total peace. But that's not the case in this world. The world is not made that way. But we can learn how to fellowship and have, look at each other, enjoy each other. We are looking in the wrong places. Sometimes we look at our church and say, well, this is where I go to worship. This is where I go to praise God. And everybody here is just in love with everybody, right? Don't fool yourself. Everybody's not in love with everybody. But we can't find solace there. And I want to begin by looking at the proclamation of David. The proclamation of David. And you can find that in the first verse. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen to what he said. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to understand when we look at this scripture, look what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. He prefaced the Lord as his shepherd, and then everything else flowed thereafter. Okay? But he was looking to his shepherd, so everything will flow thereafter. And those who are students of the Word of God knows the ups and downs of David. He wasn't always in God's good grace. And sometimes we're not in all God's good grace, right? If you find yourself, and every time you do, everything is perfect and hunkered on, everything is all right. No, I think that we're not all there in a bag of chips, okay? Okay. So we got to be very careful about that. So David, he wasn't always saying, God, good grace. I get the idea now David is at peace with the Lord. And the Lord is satisfied with him. Have you come to a place where you are at peace with God and God is satisfied with you? Is God satisfied with us? Is God satisfied with you? Is God satisfied with me? That's what he said. But David found himself at a place that God has finally, and David has settled down. Got his life pretty much in order and he sit upon his throne and God said, now I'm at peace with you, David, and you at peace with me. You know this, what they say is that God and David had a unique relationship. They had a binding and had a loving relationship that surpasses everything that we can begin to fathom. You know, brothers and sisters, when we can get so that we can embrace God and get so that we just love on God and God just love on us, amen. Then we can have this peace that passes all understanding. You know that? Have you found yourself at a place that you're now at a place of peace and everything is just serene around you? Yeah, because you can go in your secret closet and you can find peace in your closet. You may not find it around you, but you can always get, you see, sometimes you don't have to get away to some secluded place. You can just get to enter into your closet and get away in your closet. Get away in your power. Get away in your spirit. Get away and just find yourself. That's just you and God and get into a place of spiritual seclusion. And then just wait on God. Wait on him to speak to you. See, sometimes we pray and we want to get up quick. But just allow God to be able to talk to you. You finished talking to God, didn't you? Then allow God to talk to you. He got to have a response, right? We talk to him, but then we don't want to wait on the response. We need to learn how to wait on the response. Amen. Amen. And I, I don't find in the voice of David a foolish young man, but a seasoned veteran who had been in many storms. There are those of us who are like David, perhaps have been in many storms. Everything has not come up roses. And everything in this world is not going to come up roses. It's not going to come up the way that you want, the way you think it should come up. There are going to be some adversities that we are all going to have to face in life, and we might as well get ready for them. Okay? If I may use the word of the Apostle Paul in the mouth of David, I have fought a good fight. Have you fought a good fight? Are you still fighting a fight? Are you still fighting? Are you still going on? And even though the thing may not come the way that you want, but you're still in a place of fighting more. And not, sometimes we find ourselves want to just give up. God don't want any of us to be able to just to say, I give up. We often sing this song, Hold On To God's Unchanging Hand. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that song? Mm-hmm. Hold On To God's Unchanging Hand. I fought a good fight. Saints of God, who could better write these words or those words? The Lord is my shepherd. Here's what David said. David said, I have a personal relationship with my shepherd, and my shepherd have a personal relationship with me. Then one of who had been a shepherd, David had been a shepherd, though I was, but my Lord is both Lord and shepherd. I was a shepherd, but my Lord is both shepherd and Lord. Even as I sit upon, David said, even if I sit upon my throne, I am but a sheep being led by my shepherd, shepherd king. He's all that I need. He's my all and my own. David said, I claim him as my Lord and shepherd. And I want the world to know. Do you want the world to know who you belong to? Are you trying to hide who you belong to? David wants the world to know that. Why say, Lord is my, I want the world to know that I have a shepherd. I have somebody that I can go to in the midst of the storms and rages of life. Even in the midnight, I have somebody I can turn to, and he concerned me. He cares for me. So we find that. He said, he's both Lord and shepherd. And not only, but he's my king. He's King of Kings and Lord of. And he's all that I need. Then we want to look at David as he says that the Lord in verse 1, the Lord is my provider. My provider. He's my provider. Is he your provider? Is he your provider? Does he supply your needs? Does he supply your needs? But are you going to use your intellect to get everything you want? Did you not know that God gave you the intellect to do what you do? So he provided for you in a marvelous way. David could have said the Lord is a shepherd. He could have said the Lord is a shepherd, but he said, no, the Lord is what? My shepherd. My shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. He and God knew each other. The one who is speaking of this is not only his shepherd, but Lord, but a provider. He's not only a shepherd, but he is a provider. God supplies. God provides. He supplied for us. He supplied us physically, and he provides for us spiritually. Spiritually. Says of God, we may have wants and needs, but we can be comforted. He knows our need. We may not possess all that we wish for, but I shall not want. I shall not. I'm going to put another word in it. I will not want. I wonder if I said, everybody say that. I will not want. All right, all right. So now I want to make it kind of personal, okay? Because David's talking about himself, but I want to bring it home to us that I will not want. He knows our need. And he knows our need. But we can be confident and know that he knows all we need. And as I say, we may not possess all that we need. And even in old age, even in our feebleness may bring us to a posture of feebleness, but I want to let you know, I shall not want. Okay? I shall not want. How do I know this? I read in the gospel according to Matthew, he takes care of what? The birds of the air, right? He takes care of the lilies of the field. Then if he can take care of those, the birds, and he take care of the lilies, you say that you have a relationship with Almighty God. Then if that be the case, these birds have no soul. These lilies have no soul. These lilies have no relationship with God, other than the fact that God cares for them. Then if we've been born again, and we're born into the family of God, then we have somebody that's care for the then he, what you think that he cares for us, he cares for you, he cares for me, because he's concerned about us. Yeah. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we forget in the midst of our going through some things, whatever the case may be, we kind of forget. And we go through life, and as he said, care for the birds of the air, let us know, since he take care of them, he's able to take care of you, able to take care of me. The trouble with many of us, we look outside of the Lord and test our sufficiency by our abilities. Test our sufficiency by our abilities. I got this education. I got this ability. I got this great job. Lord, I'm on top of the world. But just look back just a couple of years ago. The economy turned upside down. Those that had great abilities, had all the technologies, they too was out there looking, strapping for a job. But you know, I'm going to bless you this morning. I'm looking at some faces that God allowed to have a job for many, many years, and you have been able to retire. I know some are still working, but I'm looking at some faces that have been able to, God to bless you, and been able to retire, to work on a job for 20 and 30 years, and God has supplied those jobs for you. You should be able to shout, praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you, isn't God good? Have you tried the God that I'm talking about this morning? Have you tested him? Oh, I tell you, say, this thing that God is doing is so marvelous, so miraculous, that we cannot begin to fathom in our own mind how great. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Let me use the word of Paul in Philippians 4:19, if I know that. But my God. Listen, David said, the Lord. Paul said, my God shall do what? Shall supply all of my needs according to what? His riches, not our riches, but his riches. He has everything for our need. For our need. You got a God that's able to give you what you want and supply your needs according to the risk of Christ Jesus. Such words should aid us in our journey. Life, my brothers and my sisters, is a journey. It started out at birth, progressed along life. In the midst of that, moving from beginning to where we are today, we can say that we have been blessed. We've been blessed. And so let us not focus on the negative. But focus on it. That's what I'm trying to get. Let us focus on the positive. Amen. See, sometimes we can easily get caught up in the negative stuff of life. It can easily do that. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have to do that kind of stuff. Don't you? You're human. And when you stop being human, then you exempt from that kind of thing. But I have lived 80 some years. And I have not seen where there's an exemption in life, right? I have not seen where that the Christian are exempt. See, sometimes we get the idea that because I'm a Christian, that everything gonna be all right. No. You just in the right ballpark for something to happen to you. No, you're not gonna get out of this world without problems of some sort. If you do, then you stop by here, and next time you see me, share how you did it. Show me how you did it. Tell me how you did it. So maybe I can kind of get it on the thing that you got, okay? Then I want to talk the next thing about the quiet solitude. Quiet solitude. That's found in verse 2. He making me to lie down in green pasture. The question, who being brings us and me to a place, position, is the Lord. He calls you and me aside to a quiet solitude, a place of refreshing. He knows the journey we have been on and the journey that lay ahead of us. It's long, it's tedious, it's troublesome. The heartaches, their pains, their disappointment, disillusionment, all these things are part of life. But in the midst of that, we should have a place of hush. Hush. What I'm talking about? And Brother Don and I was talking this morning. Find a place that you and the Lord can find a quiet place. A quiet place just between you and the Lord. I'm going to share this with my wife. My wife got in a house where she went. When she get out of bed, she go and wash the face. And she got what I call a holy corner. I call it a holy corner. She, every day, she goes to the same place and just sit there and pray and meditate and study God's word. If you something say to God, it's imperative that we find a sanctuary where you and God can just get together. Just get together. And you talk to him, and he talked to you. In the midst of hustle and bustle, sometimes we have to find a quiet place. Quiet place. And just sit at his feet. And just have him to speak to us. Do you have a quiet place? Do you have a quiet place in your home? Don't you know that your home are supposed to be your sanctuary? Where just you and the Lord. I'm reminded of Solomon in 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, when they offer all those sacrifices, you know, those are studied God's word, back in the book of 2 Chronicles. It says that the place that the priests usually go into. The place, because of what Saul had done, the place had become so that the priests could not even enter in. You know, did you think about that? That the place had been so set apart, so set aside. And that's where we, as individuals, we need to have a place in your home that just for you and the Lord.
Amen.
You know. And I said, don't get up in a hurry from your prayer time. Just, you may not even be able to kneel, okay? You may not be able to kneel, but just sit and let the Lord just minister to you. It's important. That's what David is saying. Find a quiet place where me and the Lord. It's a time of hush, to be silent before the Lord. Psalm 37 and 7, just sit quiet before the Lord. The world around us always at a place of turbulence. Since God is only God who can give to us peace in a troubling world, in a turbulent world. Only God. Listen with me. The words of Jesus. Words of Jesus. His disciples. And us. In St. John 14 and 27, Jesus said these words. Peace. Listen to what he said. Peace. My peace. I give unto you. Not like the world give it. Not let the world give it. I do unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. Aren't those comforting words to your Christian soul? Don't let peace. You know what peace is? Have you ever experienced peace? Peace is when you can come to a place where just, as I say, you and God can have that one-on-one relationship. And you know that just you and God is there. Peace. Then afterwards, we hear these words in 2B. He leaded me beside still waters. You know, I thought about that. I don't know about you, but ever so often I need to be refreshed. I need to be refreshed. Do you find a time in your life where you need to be refreshed? Have you got to that point? If not, then I ask that you find a place where you can be, he lead me beside still water. It is said that sheep would not drink out of turbulent waters. So if that be the case, we should not be drinking out of turbulent waters. If that be the case. I don't know about you, but ever so often I need to be refreshed because life can drain us of our little reserve. Our little reserve. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you been to a place in your life that all of your reserve was gone or is gone? Have you been there? That everything that you seem to have. You wake up in the morning, and everything just seems to just go wacko. And you can't gather anything in. You can't find out the reason why. I'm kind of like Job. when Job didn't know why God was treating him in such a way. Have you been that way? That's what his praise of Job says. Lord, why am I being treated? What have I done? And then you're going to have those people that come around you. Come around you. Got all the answers. Got all the answers. Never been in a situation like Job, but got all the answers. Never been in a problem with you, but got all the answers. Have you had those people come around? Everyone look around, they got solutions, but have they put themselves in the same place as Job? What kind of answer would they have for themselves? Still water. I'm reminded of Jesus. He said that Jesus stood one day and said, if any man, woman, boy, girl, I may use that, thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the living water. Since of God, earthly water may gratify. But the water that Jesus give you, it satisfies. It satisfies. If you don't believe it, go back to the woman at the well in the book of St. John. She came to the well with empty pitchers, pots. But when Jesus got finished with her, she went back a full vessel. That's what I'm trying to get. We need to come as empty vessels and allow God to fill us. Walk away all full of the living waters. The water she won't get out of Jacob's well was going to last for just a little while. But I'm telling you about the water that Jesus is going to pour into our very soul. It's going to last for all eternity. It will last. Never run dry. The water that God would give into, have poured into you. Don't you worry about it. Say, the water that God has poured to you at your salvation, it will never run dry. Amen. It will last. Throughout eternity. Oh, isn't God good? Have you tried my Savior? Have you tried my Lord? His source never run dry. Source never run dry. Item number three, God restore. Verse 3. Look with me. Look at the verse of the song. It was seen to work in conjunction with verse 2. But there's another side we must consider. Sheep sometime, because of the wool they have on their bodies, will sometime lay down in a low spot, causing them to be unable to get up to their feet. They will lay there, flailing frantically, trying to get up under the watchful eye of the shepherd. He will come to their aid, then to their feet. Then he'll come and lift them to their feet. Sometimes we, like sheep, fall into a place, and the Lord has to come and rescue us and lift us up. When he does, we can say, David in the Psalms, 42:2, he brought me up out of a miry clay. Set my feet on a rock and establish my goal. Says to God, God, all right. Aren't you glad that his compassion fail not? Aren't you glad?
Excuse me.
I got a little emotional. The world, yes, passion fail not, but they are new every morning. God's manner, new every morning. He gives us freshness. He gives us fresh spirit. He gives us fresh joy. He gives us fresh peace. He gives to us. And those are ours to have. Fresh him on. For time's sake, let me close with verse 4. I know we heard this voice many times. Though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Have a pair of table for me in the presence of my enemies. Now here with oil. In the closing, I want us to get a fresh perspective of this particular verse. Sometimes we look at, use it at the cessation of life. But I want us to look at something else. There is activity. He walked through the valleys. There is activity in the valley. There is walking in the valley. There is no death in the valley. There is life in the valley. Because Jesus, the God of my, of the shepherd, he's walking with us. He's taking us through the valleys. Yes, there are shadows of enemies all around us, but he will not allow those things to come near us. He walks with you, saints. Don't you worry about going through the valleys. Valleys are there for your good and for my good. But I'm glad that I got somebody. I got somebody. His name is Jesus Christ to walk through the valleys. There was no dying in the valley. Don't want you to get an idea that's dying in the valley. No, that was life in the valley because my shepherd, the God that I serve, he cannot die. Cannot die. He lived forever. And if I'm walking with him, he's going to take me through the valleys. He's going to take you through the valleys. Just keep your focus. But I want to let you know one thing. There was no dying there was no dying in the valley. But yon on Calvary's cross, death took place on Calvary's cross, and Jesus went to Calvary's cross, and there he died. Now that was death. Death in the valley. But there was life. After his death, the Bible said he rose on the first day of the week. He didn't stay. The grave didn't have no power over him. And I'm going to tell you something, saints. You may lay down in the grave one day, but I want to let you know that the grave has no power over you. We'll go one day. God gonna raise us up and give us a new body. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that's able to grave marvelous things? I want you to focus on the positive. Focus heavenward. Focus beyond this earth. Focus beyond. Had Jesus only died and stayed in the grave, our salvation would not have been complete. But he got up. Got up. He got up. He rose. And I'm not dead. I don't have a dead Savior. I got a life. Do you have a dead Savior? If you got a dead Savior, you got the wrong Savior. But if I got a live Savior, so I'm always going to focus. Regardless of the circumstance you face, focus on the positive, who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or do. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you got a Savior that loves you unconditionally? Amen. In spite of our faults, in spite of our failures, in spite of our weaknesses. Oh, I wouldn't serve, I wouldn't worship a Savior that didn't love me unconditionally. Oh, Brother Mike, got a Savior that loves you unconditionally. And just hold on. Hold on. God's unchanging hand. Hold on. Hold on. God bless you. God bless you.